Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister, and I'm a 26-year talk radio host. In just a couple days, I will be a 27-year talk radio host. And this is Raising the Vibration. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. We're at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. And, of course, the network is at LiveParanormal.com and syndicated all over the world, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio. You name it, we are there bringing spiritual and paranormal programming to you all the time. This show every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. On Wednesdays, I do Haunted Playground at 6 o'clock Pacific time. And Raising the Vibration, of course, is an outreach of a nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I started in 2016, the year my mom died on her birthday, to carry on her teachings, both spiritual and humane. And it's really about, what are you doing to make the world a better place? What's your passion? What's your service? And in addition to the cornerstone words of the movement, peace, love, kindness, and unity, our cornerstone words here at Raising the Vibration, the radio show, are ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. Yes, I doubled up on love, because that's how important love is. But those words, so important, right? Ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. What are you doing to raise your own vibration, to raise yourself up this incarnation? What are you doing to, fill yourself with spirit and act as universe would? How are you using that to evolve, to become somebody who thinks with a higher mind and a lighter heart and a more ethereal soul? And then what are you taking with all of that evolution and ascension and evolvement and enlightenment that you've amassed? How are you then using that to inspire other people? And then, of course, love, which is everyone's true religion, right? It's all about love, and we are all about love. So love always has to be part of the equation twice. And my guest today knows a lot about ascending, evolving, inspiring, loving, all of those things. That's why she's a perfect guest here for the show today. And so honored to have, from my own church, Founders Metropolitan Community Church in Hollywood, where I do my monthly Saturday night spiritual service on the second Saturday of each month at 5 o'clock Pacific time, a wonderful staff pastor, also on staff with me at Founders, and just a delightful human. My dear friend, Reverend Lucia Chappelle, is here. How are you, my friend? It's wonderful to have you here and to hear your voice.
It's so nice to be with you. Can you hear me okay, Sheena?
I hear you beautifully, my friend. It's so nice to hear you.
Good, good. It's wonderful to be with you, even though we are still distant.
Right? Right. Well, the nice thing about being syndicated is now I'm always distant. So everybody's always like, do I have to come in? I'm like, no, we don't come in anymore. I think that COVID has changed the way that we feel we have to relate to people. And I think we're learning that Zooming and the phone and all these different ways to tap into radio shows and video podcasts is actually delightful. And it's good for people because not everybody can get out and be right where you are, and they shouldn't be. They should be able to be included regardless, right?
Absolutely. And participation, you know, I have a radio show, too, that's syndicated This Way Out, the International LGBTQ Radio Magazine. And suddenly,
Amazing. In
the last couple of years, we have anchors and newsreaders and producers from everywhere. You can be listening to our 10-minute newscast and hear somebody that's reading in New York and somebody that's reading in Oakland.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's bringing the world together, and it's the way that it should be, and it makes us think beyond what's just happening in our neighborhood now to think of the whole world as our neighborhood, which is kind of, you know, for me, one of the definitions of ascension and enlightenment and involvement are thinking of everybody as your brothers and sisters and fellow humans and one human family, and more inclusion and less divisiveness, you know?
Yes, yes. And if I might share this with you, Sheena, I was talking to another friend the other day, and it brought something to my mind years and years ago, like in the late 80s, early 90s. I was the program director at KPFK Los Angeles, and I got a call one day from somebody. Oh, honey, you didn't know that? That's old news.
I'm still learning about it, baby. I love that.
Oh, secrets, darling, secrets. But I got a call one. I'm sorry?
No, I'm just listening to you, sweetie.
A call one day from somebody who wanted to do AA meetings on the air.
Okay.
And at that time, I said, well, you know, I really don't have any program time, air time available right now. But I put the question to him, can you really duplicate the experience of an AA meeting electronically if people aren't in the room together? Can that be?
Okay.
And at the time, he said, you know, he had never thought about it that way. We just talked about it for a while about the disconnect in trying to be remote. Well, 30-some-odd years later, I was talking to a friend the other day, and we realized that has changed. That is a human evolution. We, by necessity and by the expansion of technology, communication technology at our fingertips, Moby, hush now.
I love that.
We have our consciousness, our ability to relate in that way has evolved. So we actually can have that kind of intimate communication in this digital world experience. We have changed. We are not where we were before.
Yes. Yes, I agree 100%. And I think that we've learned now that soul to soul, Lucia, is the way to go. And that when you connect with somebody in an AA meeting, you're connecting your hearts, you're connecting your souls, as you would in any kind of group therapy, right, in any kind of meeting where people are coming together, any kind of healing circle. And in a way, an AA meeting is a kind of healing circle, right? There's no reason why we can't put our hearts and minds and souls together virtually, because it's nice. I mean, I think it's very important we stay in our bodies. It's important we keep hugging people. It's important that we relate to people in person, because we need to keep our social skills up, what my mama called your coyote social skills, right? You need to still learn to relate with people. But at the same time, the more we realize that this incarnation, right, is just a semester of soul school. Our bodies are really just our school uniform, and who we really are is what emits from our soul. And that's just as easy to do in Zoom. It's just as easy to do. I mean, I think in some ways it's easier for some folks, because it's hard for folks to be in person with people and bare their soul. Sometimes the online situation makes it easier, I think.
I think it can, but clearly it does have pitfalls. As you said, we still need to have human contact. You still need to have flesh to flesh. We are still incarnate.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, we are.
We are incarnate. And to try and divide our spiritual identities and our physical identities is kind of missing the point in a way.
I agree.
I mean, it's kind of getting there, but it's also kind of off.
Yeah, I agree. Right. There needs to be a better integration. We need to be better about relating to folks as we have to virtually, but also relating to folks in person as we need to, and be good in both directions. Because the bottom line is, especially as teachers, as healers, as facilitators, as pastors, there are people we need to reach who cannot physically be with us, whether it's because they have an inability to be so, or because they just flat out aren't in our area. You know, not everybody can fly into LA every time I teach a class, and they shouldn't have to. So to have that mixture, and I think it's also good for people in a situation. I teach a class every month virtually. My friend Sunny is the founder of a group called Life Group LA. It's a lifestyle group for folks with HIV and AIDS, and I teach spiritual workshops for them once a month. And, you know, there's a lady in Africa that comes. There are folks all over everywhere, and it's nice. It's nice to get people together that want that spiritual enrichment but honestly couldn't get it if they had to be there in person. So that's the nice, I think we have to find that balance between, as we always do, right, between our physical, our emotional, and our spiritual, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And I got to say, Sheena, I envy you in a way, because I can teach and I can preach and I can lead groups, but to actually, how can I say this? To actually touch my power and put it through a phone line is still extremely awkward for me.
To touch your power, put it through what, sweetheart?
Through a phone line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to go to that hallway, deep space where the pure healing energy is, to go to that place and try and put that energy out electronically, I find very awkward. And I really envy you your ability to do that.
Thank you. I used to find it awkward. I think it's all my years in radio. When I first started 12 years ago at my previous radio home, where I was doing a lot of interviewing for the first time. My shows before that were on the Howard Stern affiliate. It was a lot of call-ins, and but I was really doing interviews for the first time. And I was terrified if people weren't in studio with me. But after a while, I realized that I loved people on the phone, because when people are sitting across from you, they're distracted. They're worried about making eye contact. They're shifting in their chair. They're worried if they're too close to the mic, not close enough to the mic. They're looking out the window. When you do it on the phone like this, right, it's two souls, two energies really touching in the ethers. And there's something really intimate and intense and beautiful about that connection. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, it's the magic of radio. You know, and we've being so accustomed to TV and our phones now and having all those distracting pictures, as a radio friend of mine used to say, there is something else about radio. One example, with our show, with This Way Out, we hear so often from teenagers who can't tell and don't want their parents to know, but in their room, under the covers, with their radio, they can feel part of a global queer community in a way that they would not be able to otherwise. And believe you me, that connection for those people in that situation is as intimate as it gets.
Yeah. And isn't it hard? I was going to say sad, but I like the word hard better in this case. that there are still kids in our world that are terrified to tell the world that they are on the in the part of the queer community. I think that is so, with all the resources and all the media, you know what I mean? And we don't realize that sometimes living here in Los Angeles, where it's so much easier. You know, my 18-year-old soul child, my girlfriend's daughter, whom I love like as if I had given birth to her myself, she's out and proud and queer, and her friends are all queer, and they just queer it up and have a queer time, and it's so fun that it's sad for me to think that there are teenagers other places that are suffering and are scared to talk about who they are. And not just folks on the in the LGBTQIA plus community, but what about folks that are, you know, on the psychic spectrum? What about terrified little babies with knowing that they can see and feel things and scared to tell people? Or, I mean, whatever it is that you're scared to admit you are, that always breaks my heart, because I think such an important part of the kind of happiness that comes with ascension, spiritual ascension, is just being able to love every part of who you are.
Yes, it is. And our special gifts, be it gifts of sexual orientation and gender identity, or gifts of psychic power,
yes,
or
yes,
gifts of being able to dance or sew or anything that is supposed to be,
sure,
out of the ordinary. You know,
right,
you and I have talked before about being nerds, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up a nerd,
yes,
can be difficult.
Yes.
Growing,
yes,
up a nerd
wait,
can be difficult.
But didn't Christ say that the geek shall inherit the earth? Isn't that what it says in the Bible?
I thought it was.
I think these translations. That.
These translations just don't really measure up to the authentic original language, do they?
Yes.
You know.
It wrong. Yes. Exactly. No, I know, and some people have a hard time with that. I said that to a friend of mine the other night. I referred to her as a nerd, and it terrified her because I didn't realize that that was something growing up, that she was very fearful that someone would think she was. I've always owned it and been so proud of it. My mother was a nerd, and certainly my father was a nerd. And my father was a nerd, like, with an Isaac Asimov paperback and a pencil protector in his pocket. Like, he was a classic nerd. My mom hid it better. My parents were always, like, crafting and making things. And so it never occurred to me that anybody would feel shameful about that. But, yeah, right, if you come from a house where people go to sports games and run for homecoming queen, maybe that label is something that is terrifying to you, whereas I find it to be such an empowering label.
Yes, yes. And, you know, when you when you grow up the ugly duckling, you know,
right,
the kid that doesn't fit in the family, like the where did you come from kid?
Right, exactly, yes.
It's important to know that you did come from somewhere. You came from somewhere beyond what you can see. I was lucky in that I figured that out pretty early, that, you know, well, you know, my parents were just like, what is this kid? And I learned very early to hide the things I knew that would really freak them out.
Sure.
And yet hold on to them. Hold on to those,
sure,
things. It was, you know, and it's very funny when you feel like you're protecting your parents, but that's what a lot of ugly ducklings have to do. And that, again, you know what that is? That's evolution.
Yeah.
That's evolution. That's going beyond the consciousness you were born into.
Yes.
And reaching,
yes,
out farther. I agree. What does your bronze say? Your children are not your children. You know, they're the arrows that come from your bow.
Yes.
We get hung up on the bow and think, oh my gosh, I'm not with the bow. Oh, holy moly, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? Have you been shut out?
Yeah, and that's amazing. If you don't mind me asking, what were the things you thought would freak out your parents?
Oh, my goodness, almost everything.
What were your parents like and what was growing up like? Okay.
Oh, goodness, okay. My parents were old school black Southerners. And when I say old school, I'm saying my father was born in 1896, my mother in 1914. He became a doctor. He was the youngest of 11 boys. The only one who went much far in school, but they sent him off and he became a doctor. My mother was a beautician. And they were, it was like being raised by your grandparents because generations were off, you know, all my first cousins were grown. So it was this constant 20th century battling 19th century, you know. I don't know why. For some reason, it occurred to me the other day, an argument I had with my father when I think I was probably about 10, and I had heard about yogurt on television, and I wanted to try eating yogurt. And my father told me that they wouldn't sell me yogurt because it was Jewish food. Okay.
Wow. Right.
Okay.
So everybody can have their closed-mindedness. So, I hate to ask this, but how old were your parents when you were born?
Nearing 40 and over 50.
Okay. So my parents were 33 and 41. And growing up in the 70s, most of my friends' parents were like 19, 20 years older than them. And my parents were like grandparents' age. And it is a different way to grow up, right?
It really is. It really is. Because, you know, you realize that you're living in two worlds. You're talking about the moonshot at school and learning about telemetry and astronauts and propulsion and blah, 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 and going home where your parents flat out don't believe that anybody is on the moon.
Oh, wow.
There's
another
great quote from my father. Another great quote from my father is, I don't believe they up there. That just looks like all them movies you watch.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. So he was, for a doctor,
I mean,
he was
listen,
very
you have to understand.
Way.
I'm sorry?
I said for a doctor, he was very set in his ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Old-fashioned doctor. I remember my father doing house calls. I remember him this one woman, he would go to do a house call, and she didn't have any money, so she'd send him home with a couple of sweet potato pies.
Wow. Okay,
office,
I've heard stories like that, right? You come home with a chicken.
Yeah. And this is in the city. This isn't down in the country. You know, I remember the day the office was in the house. I remember when he changed the sign from office visit $3 to office visit $4.
Wow. But he wasn't interested in, I mean, he wasn't a progressive thinker. I guess I think of doctors as being progressive thinkers.
No, he wasn't a progressive thinker. He was an old-fashioned guy. Once again, old Southern black folk, they were Republican. Why were they Republicans? Because they grew up with Dixiecrats. They grew up with the segregationist Democrats.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
Strom
exactly.
Thurmond was the devil. Jesse Helms was the devil.
Yeah.
And
oh, how
so
life
with
changes,
that,
right?
Well, you know, signed the Civil Rights Act and all those Dixiecrats roll into the Republican Party. Why is the Republican Party the way it is? There's your answer. But with that kind of conservative thinking, you know, I mean, my father was shocked that I would be dating in high school.
Yeah,
you know,
and were you always a free spirit? It's interesting. It's funny because it kind of reminds me of my mother and her parents, because her parents adopted her when she was 12, so they were 40 something and 50 something years older.
Wow.
Than her.
Okay.
And you know, my mother grew up in the South, right in Kentucky, adopted in the system. My grandmother died when she was 5. In the system for many years, adopted by these folks in upstate New York when she was 12. But my mom always was out of the box a free thinker, you know, born in 1933, but you would have thought born in 2003. I think some people just come out of the box open, and it sounds like you just kind of came out that way.
Yes, I did, but quietly. And when I say quietly, I mean, I can remember, you know, like playing pretend games or imagining myself in a story and constantly reminding myself not to accidentally say anything out loud that my parents might hear. I was concerned that they could read my mind and they might know what I was thinking, you know.
Absolutely.
But I certainly knew my thinking was different, and I certainly knew that one of the reasons my thinking was different was because of a spiritual connection.
Right, right. And were your parents spiritual or religious?
No, not when I was growing up. In fact, I don't know. I think I told you this before. I threw a temper tantrum to get them to let me go to Sunday school. Before I was sneaking downstairs early Sunday morning before my parents woke up to watch Oral Roberts on TV.
Wow. Wow.
Not
but
cartoons,
as you were discovering,
Oral Roberts.
As you were discovering your Christianity, sweetheart, were you also discovering other things? Because I sort of think of you as your spirituality is a little bit of a hybrid, like obviously Christian-based, but you believe in a lot of things, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That didn't crystallize until I went to college, which was in 1969. Hello?
Yeah, right. There you go.
A child of the 60s. I had been and still was a good little choir girl going to chapel every Sunday morning and being in the choir and being really kind of overwhelmed when for a religion class we had to go to other religions and I went to I just went blank. It wasn't Nishram Shoshu. It was another Hare Krishna. I went to a Hare Krishna meeting.
Oh, wow.
With a friend. And I was surprised at myself how odd it felt to be in a non-Judeo-Christian environment. It was my, I never had been. And it really, I was shocked at how shocked I was. So I knew I needed to explore that more. Meanwhile, once again, it was the psychedelic 60s. And I was reading Alan Watts and Aldous Huxley and doing many of the things that they suggested one do. I'll leave it there.
Sure.
And just expanded
and
my
did those things broaden your horizon, sweetheart? Did those
things? Absolutely.
Because many people think that the psychedelics and all that kind of stuff, which is what you're talking about, right? That all of that expands your spirituality.
In my case, that definitely was true. Now, I was very fortunate to be around high consciousness spiritual people. And that was the kind of community that, you know, our freak community that we had in the 60s and early 70s. I always had people that were watching out for me. I always had people who were pointing me in a direction of consciousness and not quote-unquote just fun, although, of course, just fun is part of consciousness, hello. But it opened to me a universe that I always knew was there, because I always knew that there had to be, that beyond what we talked about in Christianity, there was more. Yeah, I was really, really young when it occurred to me that it didn't make any sense that the prime essential force of the universe relied on blood sacrifice. That did not add up to me at all. That just did not add up to me at all. So I always knew there was something more. And I think, well, I know, coming into MCC, into Metropolitan Community Church, where the message was not just God loves queer people. It was beyond that, because as you truly try to live Christianity and live it in a way that interprets Christianity in a current, this moment context, many things begin to change.
Yes.
And I began to look at it like Jesus said, I am the door. What you going to do? You going to stand around looking at the door, or you going to go through the door?
Right. Yes.
And if you go through the door, you come to all that badness, all that beyondness, which is what Jesus was trying to tell us we had access to.
Yeah.
And the Christ event is all about telling us, you've got the access, run with it.
Yes. Yeah. It reminds me of how my mom used to say, I don't think I fit in Christianity, but I love the teachings of Christ. So she started calling herself a teachings of Christ Christian, which I loved, because she loved what Jesus had to say, but she didn't necessarily like the human interpretation of it. And she kind of liked to stick with the facts and not let other people tell her what that meant. And it's interesting how when you look at Christ that way, to me, Christ was very much a metaphysician. I mean, to me, he was
absolutely
kind of a healer and a hippie and all these things that a lot of folks in the modern Christian society would bully to me are a lot of the things that Christ was.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's that? Is it a Lead Belly song? Hallelujah. If they, you know, if Jesus was to teach what he taught in Galilee, they would nail Jesus Christ and they would lay Jesus Christ in his grave today. You know, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if God was one of us, just a stranger on the bus?
Right. Absolutely. Right. Trying to make his way home.
You know?
Uh-huh. Well, but that's, to me, there's a oneness in that. To me, growing up with a mama who, you know, in very conservative Orange County was sort of a secret metaphysician, a closet New Ager, to see how Christ himself had a lot of those same ideals, to see that this figure for this enormous religion like Christianity also was very much metaphysical, also was very much a healer, had a lot of Buddhist philosophy. To me, that just exemplifies the oneness of everything.
Absolutely.
And I think we
absolutely
become much happier people when we start to focus on the oneness, you know?
You know, I went to Claremont School of Theology. Didn't quite make it all the way through, but that's a whole other story. But I had this one professor. I had this one Old Testament professor who talked about children of Israel and the Old Testament Hebrew faith as being not monotheistic, but monotheologizing. Drawing
explain
all
the
different aspects. It's rather than saying there is monotheistic would be to say there is one God and it's mine.
Okay.
Monotheologizing is taking all the different ideas of God and putting them all together because you realize that if you're saying that there is one God, then there is one God. There
right.
is one God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that or not? And if you believe that, then all these different faces, aspects, approaches are all one. We
exactly.
are all climbing one mountain from different sides, but it's got one peak.
Exactly. And that's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense that there's not one source that is everything. And you can decide what you want to call that source. But there
and
are
how
people
you,
right
and
in
that's
the world
based on how
really
you
believe. Right.
It's about how you experience
yeah.
that source. Whoop. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
And
no,
how
right.
and what language you put to that experience.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
right,
ultimately,
but there are people
the words
who will argue with you.
And why? You know?
I don't know.
I mean,
they want to believe it's your God and my God and their God, and they're fighting for which God's the real God, and it just doesn't make any sense.
It totally doesn't make any sense. Once again, especially if you believe that there is one God, how can you can't say somebody else is a false God. That's crazy. That's an oxymoron.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But that's where we are, and that's where we are. Ooh, oh gosh. I told myself, Sheena, that I wasn't going to do this. But here
Uh-oh.
We are. wait a minute. I think I lost you. Wait. There. Okay, I'm back. Just before we were supposed to get on the phone, I was watching the news. and hearing about the sexual harassment scandal with Governor Cuomo.
And listening
to all the stuff that he did and he said and his dumb response, just so embarrassing. And I just went, what is wrong with men? What makes them think they can act like that? It's not just how, what is wrong with men? What is wrong with men? What is wrong with white people? It's supremacy. The notion of supremacy. Okay? Male supremacy, white supremacy. The idea, and as long as we image God in terms of supremacy instead of ubiquity, we're trapped. We are trapped in this patriarchal chokehold.
Yes.
That is strangling the life. And this is how, Sheena, you can tell that the spiritual and the physical and the political are all the same thing. We are trapped in this chokehold that is killing the planet and killing the people. And it's all about the idea that there is a supremacy, that there is hierarchy, that that's how the universe is built, that the universe is a straight line marching into oblivion and not a circle of life renewing itself. We're trapped. We are
Absolutely.
Trapped politically. We are trapped as physical beings. We are trapped spiritually and mentally and emotionally. You know, how much of our fear is based on some notion, whatever kind of thing it is in your head. It doesn't have to be, you know, a god with a white beard on a big throne, but you have some notion that the universe has a great big baseball bat, and if you do it wrong, you're going to get hit. And so you better hit somebody else before you get hit. You know, that's where we are. That's where we are. And that sums up,
you know,
that sums it all up. That sums up everything that we're confronting today. Everything.
I agree. But we're making a lot of progress. And I tell you, living around an 18-year-old is making me really realize that there are those who are carrying that torch.
Yeah.
That are making sure the progress continues, and that feels awful good to know that.
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, there are those who are lighting a whole new torch and leaving us in the dust, honey. Because they've got a whole lot more work about this stuff worked out than we ever will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way of life. That's the way the universe calls us forward. Individuals and as one big human individual, you know, one big collective individual, which is what we are. You know, we're bored.
Well, but we are, right? Because when we're home, not here, on the teaching planet, we are connected. We're bodiless. We are one. We have ultimate collective unconscious. Supposed to be. We're only here separated so we can learn. You know, losing our 360 knowledge we have at home because we have to come here and start over to learn every time. But our natural way to be, the way we are at home, is to be have a little piece of everybody in everybody, right? And that's how it should be. And I think here at Hopes we're going to find that here.
Exactly. I was going to say, part of the point, I think, is not leaving it behind, but bringing it with you when you come. You know, I'm looking at the trunk my mama packed to send me off to college, sitting here in my living room.
Wow.
I had to take something, I had to take a lot with me to leave and find a new way.
Absolutely.
Because that's your toolbox. You know, that's the toolbox you start with.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when you describe your spirituality now, how do you describe it, sweetheart?
You know, it's different every time somebody asks me because I'm still looking for language. And being a writer, you know, looking for language can be the ultimate rabbit hole. I'm Christian. It depends on who I'm talking to. Because depending on who I'm talking to, I'll say I'm Christian but or I'm Christian and. You know?
Okay. I like and, personally.
Well, sometimes you need a but. Because when you say you are Christian and you see that look on somebody's face that immediately tries to characterize you and stuff you into one box, but throws away the box, and implies, oh, well, you can have your box, but let's just put some wrapping on it.
Right.
But throws away the box and says, let's start over with, you know, what you assume I believe. Because probably all of your assumptions about what I believe as a Christian are wrong.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, so, I mean, how do you deal with it, Gina? You know, I mean, you talk about, you say, you know, you're a shaman, you're spiritual, you're this, you're that, you're Christian.
Yeah.
Do you have a tagline that works for you?
I say I believe in the spiritual salad bar, that each of us creates our own palate the way you would create your own plate in the salad bar. And that mine's a little bit of everything that resonates with me, and I believe everybody's is, whether they admit it or not. I mean, to get specific,
absolutely.
I'm a Teachings of Christ Christian. I own that title more now since I've been at Founders. In my rebellious days growing up in Orange County in the 80s in the Orange County, California Bible Belt, I wouldn't even say the word God. I was such a rebel. But, you know, I've come back to...
And with good reason. With good reason. When you're around people who make God blush, you know, it's real hard. Yeah, back in my day, that old song, they will know we are Christians by our love. We used to sing, they will know Christ's true message by our love. Because
I like that. Mm-hmm.
There ain't nobody, when you say Christian, love was not the immediate thing that was popping into mind. this was, you know, this was like the Anita Bryant, Jerry Falwell period. By the way, Sheena, have you heard? Have you heard?
No.
Anita Bryant's granddaughter is getting married to a woman.
You see, that's how it works, right?
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's how
it's total perfection. It's total perfection.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah. I know when I started referring to myself again as a Christian, you know, I do a video companion shows to my two radio shows here on Live Paranormal's video channel, and I was on there giving spiritual advice and doing readings and stuff for folks, and I said the word Christian, and somebody said, "You're a Christian? I think I need to turn off my video." And then I had to sort of explain what that meant to me, which to me means I'm a follower of Christ. I'm also a follower of Buddha. There are also Hindu deities that I love. I'm a follower of Ganesh, the beautiful remover of obstacles. You know, I believe in Source and everything that Source has made that is of the light. So sometimes I find things. I went through a phase when I was trying to learn about other religions. I did not grow up Catholic, which is weird for an Irish girl. And I had a friend who was very Catholic who started talking to me about saints. And I went through like a couple years of studying saints, just fascinated by these people, many of whom weren't believers until they got the download from Spirit, who spent their time devoting their time to God. And it made me feel very much the way that I felt when I started this nonprofit movement, where one minute I was just living my life, and the next minute I was in service permanently. So, I think you discover more things you love. The more you study the spirit realm, the more you discover things that you love that resonate with you.
Yes.
And then you put those things on your plate.
Yes. Yes. And the fact that they resonate with you proves that they are connected, you know.
Yes.
Proves that, you know, what Ram Dass is saying is the same thing as what Jesus is saying. And you know, and Jesus points to Buddha, and it's all of a piece. It's all of a piece.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But what's that scripture when Jesus is healing one blind person and says, you know, well, can you see? And the guy says, I see people like trees walking. That scripture has always fascinated me because it's like,
mm-hmm.
I see it, but not quite. I see it and it resounds with something I remember from when I had sight, but it's not quite a clear picture. So you need another touch. And we always, you know, we're continually in the process of getting another touch and seeing it more clearly.
Agreed. Absolutely. Sweetie, we are completely out of time.
And it's from everywhere. It's from everywhere. Well, oh my gosh, has a whole hour gone by?
It sure has. Let's do this again soon, and where can people find you?
Where can people find me? Well, at Founders Metropolitan Community Church, and you can find that on the web, or Facebook, Founders Metropolitan Community Church. I also do a Wednesday night Bible study that studies a whole lot. It ain't your grandma's Bible study. Let's say that. On Wednesday nights, you can find that at the Founders MCC Facebook page. There's also an FMCC Wednesday night Facebook page that you can check out. And for my radio show, that's thiswayout.org.
Thank you, my friend, for being here. It means so much to me. You know I'm such a fan of you and everything that you do in your life, and I'm honored that you spent this time with me today.
Well, I am just thrilled to spend time with you, Sheena. It's really a gas. It's really a gas.
Thank you, my friend. I will talk to you soon. Everybody, the wonderful Reverend Lucia Chappell, thank you, sweetheart, for being here. If you missed any of those links, it's so easy. Just go to SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. I'll let you know how to find everybody. That's the easiest way to find me for all of my psychic and spiritual services. That's the way you go. You can learn out everything about me you need to know about my rates for what I do, the services I provide, my crystals that I charge and bless and cleanse, my workshops, where you can find me on Life Paranormal. All that stuff is right there, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. This show, RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, and, of course, the beautiful Life Paranormal Radio Network at LiveParanormal.com and syndicated around the world. Also, you can find me tonight on Live Paranormal's video channel, Facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal, doing my companion video show. It's called I Am Raising Your Vibration. Until I see you next time, my friends, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, and always, always raise your vibration, ascend, evolve, inspire, and just keep loving. I am Sheena Metal, and this is Raising the Vibration. I love you. I'll see you next time.